We are off to the theatre. It is review time once again, and the man in the stalls is ITV's Vidar Harding. Hello, Vidar.
How are you, Alan? Nice to talk to you.
Not too bad. Right, we have an RSC production to talk about
today. At the Swan Theatre, and in Row D, which is where I was lucky enough to be sitting last Saturday afternoon, I caught up with a pretty well-known comedy by one of Shakespeare's contemporaries, in a way, Ben Jonson, set in London in 1610 in a sort of basement room of a wealthy merchant or wealthy person's London home. Let me try and say the story without giving too much away. Lovewit is the owner of the house, who's a wealthy guy, who goes off to the country to flee the plague, which is sort of besieging the capital. And while he's away, his trusted butler, and I use the word trusted in inverted commas, suddenly gets together with a guy called Subtle, who is less than, shall we say, and another of their accomplices, Doll, who is a prostitute. And the three of them really create this den of iniquity, criminal iniquity, really. And lots of people, unwitting souls, come to knock at the door and think they're going to be sort of, you know, rich and all the rest of it. And in fact, they're basically being ripped off. And this goes on for a while until somebody knocks on the door and suddenly things change, and I will say no more than that.
Ah.
There we go. So an interesting play, and one which I hadn't seen before, and actually it was performed and set in 1610, as I say, and this particular RSC, and it is a Royal Shakespeare Company production, was set in that exact period as well.
Okay, right. So you went along to the audio described performance, and did you get on stage for a touch tour this time?
Yeah, we did. And as you will know, touch tours can be very enlightening in a whole range of ways. Sometimes you get the chance to meet the cast, and we met some of them, which was great. They talked about their roles and their costumes. You also get the chance, the opportunity to, as you all know, Alan, having done it yourself, to maybe inspect some more unusual props and stage accoutrement. And it's the first time I've ever met a crocodile. I hasten to add, not a real one, you'd be very relieved to know. But this particular crocodile, his jaws, when opened, sort of provided what was effectively the strong box for all the ill-gotten gains, the loot, the money, things. And that was quite clever. So first time I've met a crocodile on stage. But otherwise, you know, some interesting props. And as I say, the key thing, I think, for many of us who were there with sighted companions or relatives was that we were able to meet two or three members of the cast who, and I always say this, a bit like a cracked record, but I think it's worth saying because I think it shows how much people go to a lot of trouble for audio description. It's a Saturday, so there are two shows, normally a matinee and an evening, in which the actors who come out as part of the touch tour take part. So to be there, very often in costume as well, at 11 o'clock in the morning, bearing in mind their day won't stop until between 10 and 11 that evening, is, I think, real dedication to just the art generally and audio description in particular. So all credit to them.
Indeed. So we had the touch tour, and we had you had the audio description, so you had the headphones in with the narration on.
So you pick those up from the cloakroom at the RSC. Every theatre is slightly different, but they always show you how they work, just to check that you've been familiarised with a non-too-technical process. Even people like me can do it. Anyone can do it. And Ellie Packer and Mary Placard, who describe many of the Royal Shakespeare Company productions, provided the live audio description, including those pre-show notes, which if you hadn't been able to get hold of in advance, were reprised 15 minutes or so before the start of the matinee. And they skillfully wove their commentary around the dialogue on stage. And actually, although you can follow the basic storyline of the play, there was a lot that I found was hugely improved. Well, improved is the wrong word, but a lot benefited, shall we say, from the audio description, without which we simply wouldn't have known some of the things that were visually going on.
Another thing we mentioned, Vida, and we do this regularly because I believe this is really important as well. If you are blind or severely sight impaired, you know, audio description makes a massive difference. It allows you to go to the theatre and enjoy it, but it's the whole experience, you know, especially if you go on your own. From the moment you arrive at the front doors to the moment you step out those doors to go home, it's the reception and the help from the staff.
You're absolutely right, Alan, and it is a point well worth making again, because, you know, not only do the describers assist people onto the stage, or their companions might do it, but sometimes if people are on their own, there are members of staff, volunteers very often, or members of the front of house team who are very, very much there because they want you to get the most out of the experience, whether it's just in the touch tour that you need a bit of help, whether it's knowing where to, you know, put in your coat or leave your bag or pick up your headset, find your seat, whatever it may be, they want you to be feeling comfortable and unstressed, or de-stressed, certainly, in the time you're with them. So, yeah, and they're very, very good at that at the RSC. I think that's one of the, you know, their fortes, to be honest. So it's a good point to raise, and happily, it's something that I'm very keen to applaud them for.
Fantastic. Okay, so today's is The Alchemist, and it marks out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going to say 3 to 4 out of, I mean, because it was an energetic production, nothing wrong with production. I'm not sure it's my favourite play. That's perhaps unfair on the performance, really, or the audio description. Let's nudge it up to 4, because at the end of the day, these are reviews about audio description, not whether or not I like Ben Johnson's property. So, because I think Mary and Ellie did a great job, and they always do, and because, you know, the actors really gave it their all, and it was, as I say, huge amount of running around, dashing about, very pacey, you know, mood and pace of the play. Let's nudge it to 4.
Great stuff. So that's The Alchemist then for today. Where are we off to next?
All right, let me give you a clue. Here's one for you and Jesse. Let's see who gets it first. If I said, mm-hmm. We might, if you take a chance on me, you know where I'm going with
Jesse?
Knowing you, you might get this one.
Oh, it's got to be Mamma Mia.
It is. Well done. You see, it's as well. I'm not setting crosswords or anything. It'd be easy, wouldn't it? So, yeah, it's on tour at the moment. It's you know, if you like ABBA's music, then clearly it's the musical for you. And it's, you know, a very different... That's the beauty of the privilege I have of going to see so many audio described performances. It's the eclectic mix, and so from Ben Johnson to the music
to Mamma Mia. We'll look forward to that one, Vidar, and thank you once again for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you very much, Alan.